Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 394, titled The Battle of Men with Hill, Signals Intelligence and the September 11th Attacks. This is being recorded on January 12th of the year 2003. In this broadcast, we're going to reprise elements of two past For the Record broadcasts, For the Record 166 and For the Record 331, and I'm also going to reprise a section of a description for the Record program number 119. Now, in For the Record program number 394, in the present broadcast, I'm going to be taking a look at an intelligence component of what I believe to be the geopolitical struggle that will frame not only the 21st century, but in all probability much of the rest of human history as well, and that is the struggle between what I call the underground Reich, and as we'll see in future broadcasts, what one might term the underground empire, meaning the power political interests of a fascist Japan, which also saw a resurrection with a democratic facade in the post-war period. More about that later. But the struggle between the underground Reich and the United States for the future of the world, and that would appear to be a pretty bleak future. This is a struggle that I've couched in many broadcasts in the past, and if what I'm about to say seems preposterous or perhaps overly glib, I apologize and I refer listeners to the previous material. Now, in For the Record program number 119, recorded in December of 1998, I've analyzed a number of elements of conflict between U.S. and German intelligence, and I saw in this conflict, and I believe my analysis was accurate, the lines of demarcation for the, again, as I've said, the geopolitical and power political struggle that I think will decide the future of humanity, a struggle between democracy and a struggle between democracy and fascism, with considerable deception on either side. My opinion is that the United States is in an advanced state of destabilization by a fascist fifth column involving some very powerful elements in this country, but ultimately loyal not to anything that people would conceive of as the United States, but rather to an international fascist corporate state that ultimately will be dominated not by U.S. interests, but by German and perhaps to a lesser extent Japanese corporate interests as well. Central to this analysis is my discussion of the Bormann Organization. That discussed in numerous past broadcasts, including For the Record 305. And within a few days, I will have a description of Paul Manning's professional career up in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, Paul Manning having done the landmark research on the Bormann Organization. Now, from the Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com, this is part of the description for the Record 119. This program was recorded in December of 1998. Now listen carefully to the following, and I think you'll see in the discussion of the Men with Hill listening station and the conflict between the U.S. and EU / Germany over that, I think you'll see an unnerving foreshadowing of the September 11th attacks, which took place 2.5 years later. Again, from For the Record 119, titled U.S.-German Intelligence Wars, recorded in December of 1998. This is from the written description in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. In the wake of the Cold War, the lines of political struggle are being redrawn with potential conflict between the United States and Germany, and beyond that, the German-dominated European Union, threatening to replace the confrontation between the U.S. and former USSR. In the field of intelligence, the U.S.-German conflict is already beginning to manifest itself. This broadcast sets forth some of the most important and recent developments in the friction between German and American intelligence. And skipping down of the attack on the Men with Hill listening station and the associated Echelon network, we read, this section of the program sets forth friction between German intelligence chief Bernd Schmittbauer and the FBI over industrial spying, as well as a consummately important story about attempts by the European Union, read Germany, to compromise the National Security Agency's vital Men with Hill electronic listening post in England. Mr. Emery has characterized the pressure on the NSA facility as an act of war and believes it to be, in the information age, as strategically significant as the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in World War II. That, again, a reading of a section of the description for the Record Program 119, recorded in December of 1998, a full 2.5 years before the September 11th attacks. One of the things I'm going to be asking, and again, in many past broadcasts, I have analyzed not only Al-Qaeda, but other Arabo-fascist and Islamo-fascist elements as being the proxy combatants of the underground Reich and the underground Axis in what it basically is World War III, which I believe to be a continuation of World War II. And I think the United States is in a position analogous to that of France in the period leading up to and in the early part of World War II, in which attack from without and subversion by a power elite fifth column from within are being synchronized to destroy or subjugate the country. By the way, my analysis of France and World War II can be accessed in For the Record Program 372, among other broadcasts. One of the interrogatory notes in this program, and obviously my entire inquiry into the Men with Hill situation is hypothetical, but again, I think that program from December of 1998 is eerily prescient when analyzed in connection with September 11th. A very good book about the National Security Agency and a follow-up to an earlier volume by James Bamford called The Puzzle Palace. That book was recently published. It's called Body of Secrets, subtitled Anatomy of the Ultra-Secret National Security Agency. It's by James Bamford. It was published in soft cover by Anchor Books, which is a division of Random House. Oddly, and perhaps significantly owned by Bertelsmann, but that's another story. After discussing the capabilities of the National Security Agency to intercept a satellite phone number and other electronic communications of Osama bin Laden, and this allegedly including the perpetrators or some of the perps in the 1998 embassy bombings, it is noted here by James Bamford that it was in 1998, the same year that the Germans and their EU proxies were beginning the attack on the Men with Hill listening station, it was in 1998 that Osama bin Laden abandoned the practice of using satellite and telephonic communications to distribute information to his operational elements. I wonder to what extent the abandonment of electronic telecommunications by Osama bin Laden and the attack by the Germans and EU on Men with Hill are coincident, or whether they are part of the same dual-pronged assault that I have posited as representing a continuation of World War II. Turning to Body of Secrets by James Bamford, published by Anchor Books, and this is the soft cover edition, we read, "But even though the NSA had the capability to intercept many conversations to and from bin Laden and other members of Al-Qaeda, including some of those allegedly involved in the bombing of the American embassies in East Africa, the information was not enough to prevent the attacks. Many of the calls were intercepted by Britain's GCHQ at their listening post at Morenstow near Bude in Cornwall. There, close to the endless white caps of the Celtic Sea, nearly a dozen dishes pick up signals from commercial satellites such as Inmarsat and Intelsat. The intercepted phone calls, faxes, internet, and data transfers are then forwarded to GCHQ's sprawling headquarters in Cheltenham. Once filtered and analyzed, they would be forwarded to NSA over secure encrypted communications links. Other calls to and from bin Laden were picked up thousands of miles to the south of Afghanistan at a listening post run by Australia's Defense Signals Division located at Geraldton, a scruffy port on the Indian Ocean about 210 miles north of Perth. Situated in the westernmost part of the country, Geraldton was built in 1994 to eavesdrop on commercial satellites over the Indian Ocean. Eventually, Following President Clinton's 1998 American cruise missile attack on bin Laden's camp in Afghanistan, and the realization that his location could be betrayed by signals from the satellite phone, he stopped using the instrument. Now, when one calls his number, all they hear is a recording stating he, quote, is not logged on, nor, or not in the dialed ocean region, unquote. Since 1998, parenthetically, that is the year that the German/EU attack on Menwith Hill began, since 1998, bin Laden communicates only through messengers who make calls for him from distant locations. Nevertheless, these are also occasionally intercepted. One such call, picked up by NSA early in September of 2001, was from a bin Laden associate to bin Laden's wife in Syria, advising her to return to Afghanistan. At the time, it was filed away, when instead it should have been one more clue, one more reason for Director Hayden to worry on the morning of September 11th. That's General Hayden, the director of the NSA. What we're going to do next is to listen to a section of For the Record Program 166, recorded in July of 1999. And at that point, I noted not only the continued German/EU attack on Menwith Hill and the Echelon network, but also noting that Germany was scapegoating the Echelon network and Menwith Hill for Germany's economic problems, which is basically pure and unadulterated BS. Also, very significantly in the For the Record Program 166, I noted the Free Congress Foundation's simultaneous attack on Menwith Hill and the Echelon network. And once again, I posited a dual-pronged assault on the United States by the Underground Reich, both those elements in Germany and Europe, and its associated fifth column in the United States. This is from For the Record 166, recorded in early July of 1999. I'm also going to review briefly an article which is terribly significant. I've spoken in the past about the German and EU pressure on the Menwith Hill National Security Agency station at Harrogate in Yorkshire in the United Kingdom. That, in turn, is part of the Echelon Signals Intelligence Network that is maintained by the United States and other members of the British Commonwealth, including Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. I've spoken in the past about German U.S. intelligence wars and their significance, and the Menwith Hill facility is one of the most secretive and important intelligence establishments in the entire U.S. intelligence apparatus. It also is very important to British intelligence, and to see Germany putting heat on Menwith Hill and on the Echelon network in turn is indicative of an absolute paradigm shift in international relations. And again, what we're seeing is a resumption of what in the 19th and early 20th centuries was called the Game of Nations, the struggle between world powers for dominance. And this particular article was also researched for us by a listener. It also comes from the Electronic Telegraph. This is an article by Tony Patterson in Berlin. It's dated April 11th of 1999. That was a Sunday. And it's headlined, U.S. Spy Satellites Raiding German Firms' Secrets. Security experts in Germany have uncovered new evidence of a big American industrial espionage operation in Europe using satellite listening posts in Britain and Germany. German business is thought to suffer annual losses of at least $7 billion through stolen inventions and development projects. With Europe already locked in a trade war with its American ally over bananas, Germany's high-tech industry wants its government to back a counteroffensive. The main centers used for satellite tapping of millions of confidential company telephone calls, fax, and email messages are believed to be terrestrial listening posts run by the American National Security Agency, or NSA, at Menwith Hill near Harrogate, North Yorkshire, and Bad Aibling, Bavaria, with the backing of the American government. Quote, industrial espionage is becoming increasingly aggressive. Secrets are being siphoned off to an extent never experienced until now, unquote, said Horst Telchik, T-E-L-T-S-C-H-I-K, a senior BMW board member and a former security advisor to Helmut Kohl. He is trying to coordinate a German business response to the spying problem? Well, first of all, there is, of course, industrial espionage that goes on as a matter of routine. The United States does conduct industrial espionage against Germany and other countries, and Germany does the same thing. A major center of German espionage in the United States and in other countries are the Goethe Institutes. They masquerade as cultural institutions and do serve that purpose to a certain extent, but they're fronts for German intelligence, according to Professor Wilhelm Stauffer, an expert on German intelligence who has alleged extensively the Goethe BND connection, and the Wilhelm Stauffer tapes are available from Spitfire. Beyond that, German firms in the United States conduct industrial espionage as a matter of routine. Here in the Silicon Valley, the Siemens firm is undoubtedly an epicenter of German espionage. And beyond that, in the Deutsche Bank's purchase of Bankers Trust, the Deutsche Bank officials indicated that the Bankers Trust purchase was basically effected in order to secure a Maryland-based venture capital firm called BT Alex Brown. That company is a venture capital firm heavily involved with Silicon Valley venture capital startups. And indeed, the Deutsche Bank indicated that the main reason for the purchase of Bankers Trust, whose chairman, by the way, was frozen off of the Deutsche Bank board of directors, the main reason for the purchase of Bankers Trust was to secure BT Alex Brown in order to significantly boost Deutsche Bank's involvement with Silicon Valley capitalization. That will also inevitably result in increased Silicon Valley espionage and the siphoning off of trade secrets. All of which is to say that the Germans do it to us and we do it to them. For the Germans to be scapegoating the Men with Hill listening station, the Echelon program for their economic problems is pure drivel, and I think indicates once again the resumption of the hostility between the nations and the resumption of what was called the Game of Nations. Again, both countries do it. Germany's economic problems stem from a lot of different sources, including reunification, a major reason for their problems, and it is not. Scapegoating the NSA is pure chauvinism and xenophobia in the worst way. It's not to say that we don't conduct espionage against them, industrial espionage, including through Men with Hill. Of course we do. They do the same thing to us. And I would note that it's a major element of German law that no foreign interest can own a controlling stake in any of the German core corporations, including Volkswagen, Siemens, Deutsche Bank, Daimler-Benz, or now Daimler-Chrysler, etc. That is forbidden by German law, and that's one of the areas where they get a leg up on others. More about Men with Hill. Apparently there is a campaign at the Men with Hill site in Harrogate in North Yorkshire to open up Men with Hill and Echelon. Research credit on this to a listener who mailed this in to me. This comes from the Yorkshire Evening Post. And their website, by the way, is www.yorkshire.evening/evening/post.co.uk. This is from Friday, July 16th of 1999. It's headlined, New Action at Spy Base. It reads in part, the peace campaign at the controversial Men with Hill spy base near Harrogate is set to be stepped up with the formation of a local forum to try to monitor the secret location. It follows a high court ruling this week where a judge granted campaigners a right to protest outside the American base during daylight hours. North Yorkshire County Council had been seeking an eviction order for the camp that has been based outside Men with Hill for 14 years. At a meeting in Otley last week, a group of councillors met with David Bow, MEP for Yorkshire, and the Humber, peace campaigners and concerned residents. And they agreed to meet on a quarterly basis to provide a focus for concerns and an attempt to monitor developments at the spy base. Mr. Bow said, quote, we need to know what the satellite interceptions are being used for. We must ensure that the interests of Britain and other European states and their businesses are fully protected. Quote, the forum gives us the opportunity to bring together available information and coordinate pressures on Men with Hill to operate under proper legal and political controls, unquote. County Councillor John Eveleigh, Eveleigh, who chaired the meeting, said, quote, there is considerable concern locally about Men with's ongoing expansion, unquote. And Count Martin Martin Hemingway added, quote, we want to shed more light on this secret place and ensure that its activities conform to the law, unquote. Well, Menwith Hill and beyond that, the Echelon network maintained by the British Commonwealth, including Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, in addition to the United States, is absolutely vital for the national security of both the United States and the United Kingdom. The NSA is primarily concerned with signals intelligence. That is the focus of the Echelon network, and it is vital that security of those institutions not be compromised. This will sound perhaps strange to members of the listening audience. I have spent my entire life not only combating fascism, but attempting to highlight the need for reforms of the intelligence community. This is one area where I don't think the public has any business sticking their nose in, any more than they have any business having access to the launch codes for nuclear missiles. The areas where people should get involved with trying to democratize society, and that is critical, are in the areas of political involvement. People should, instead of sitting back watching things, get active politically. Devote a certain amount of each time to political activity. They should respond to their media. They should get deeply involved with attempting to get the media or get the intelligence community out of the media. That is one of the main areas for intelligence reform, as well as preventing things like the assassinations of the Kennedys, Martin Luther King, the creation of AIDS, Project Harp, and a lot of other things that most people don't seem to be paying any attention to. I don't think the public has any business messing with Menwith Hill or the Echelon network. Beyond that, an article that to me indicates the proto-fascistic or fascistic nature of the heat being put on Menwith Hill, and I'm not doubting the sincere Democratic instincts of people who are concerned about it. I share those concerns. But the fact of the matter is, things like organizing unions to combat corporations, cleaning the intelligence community out of the media, preventing abuses like mind control, a political assassination, the trafficking in drugs, those are the areas where the public should be active in terms of democratizing intelligence functions. They have no business messing with Menwith Hill or the Echelon network, in my opinion. A critical article in this regard was carried, actually an op-ed column, was carried in the San Francisco Examiner of Monday, July 5th of 1999. This is an article by Lisa S. Dean, and it's about the Echelon Network, including Menwith Hill, and it's headlined, Big Brother is Listening to You. And this is significant because Lisa Dean is director of the Free Congress Foundation Center for Technology Policy, the Free Congress Foundation, well known to veteran listeners to this program. It is a fascistic organization founded by Paul Weyrich, inextricably linked with the whole Galen ABN milieu that I've spoken about, and we talked about that at considerable length in Radio Free America 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, a prelude to World War III, unquote, and we're going to reprise a section of that program in the next half-hour segment. This is Dateline Washington, and again, Lisa Dean of the Free Congress Foundation writes as follows. The little game is up. The cat is out of the bag. Or should I say that some Australian politicians are in orbit? You see, many different countries have participated in a spy satellite system. It is known as Echelon. But no one wanted to admit that the system either existed or that they were party to it, much like the blue code of silence, unquote, that has afflicted some police departments who cover for one another when the other commits a crime. Well, now Australians have broken the code of silence by officially admitting to what many of us have known for a long time, that Echelon exists and they are a part of it. It won't be long before other nations, including the United States, are forced to admit their involvement as well. After all, in Congress, Representative Bob Barr, Republican of Georgia, has already managed to get an amendment passed by the House that would force the intelligence community as well as law enforcement to set forth the standards and criteria by which they conduct foreign and domestic surveillance. While that amendment still has to pass the Senate and survive a Clinton veto, the fact that the House of Representatives is questioning our current government surveillance practices is significant. This concern will likely shed light on the very issues that entities such as the National Security Agency want kept in the dark, out of sight from the American people. It will likely force the agency to admit to the existence of Echelon and that the United States is the principal partner in this global surveillance network that is being used to not only spy on American citizens, but on foreign businesses. put together by the National... By the way, note foreign businesses, and note Lisa Dean is with the Free Congress Foundation. It's a fascistic organization which, in my opinion, is part of a Nazi fifth column, literally a fifth column in this country, loyal to what I term the Underground Reich, and it is not an institution which in any size, shape, form, or manner is concerned with democracy or the rights of the American people. It is concerned with fascism, and its track record will speak for itself. We're going to talk about that in the next half hour. But note here that she also, the aforementioned Lisa Dean, is concerned about America, about Echelon spying on foreign businesses. That's what the Germans are concerned about. Continuing. Put together by the National Security Agency, the Echelon system is said to be a network of satellite dishes here and in friendly nations intended for random interceptions of email, faxes, telex, and telephone communications carried by microwave. Computers and analysts sift through haystacks of messages for needles of information. Information gained from obtaining secrets about foreign competitors is passed on to American business leaders. That has kept many American businesses in the Clinton-Gore camp and has caused them to remain silent on issues they would normally oppose. During the Cold War from 1946 to 1989, many things were done by our government to keep ahead of the Soviets. Most Americans didn't want to know what was going on. They trusted their government to act in their interest. I have no quarrel with that. The Soviets were a serious enemy. Currently, we have no enemy of such stature. We have smaller problems such as Saddam Hussein and Slobodan Milosevic. I would add, with organizations like the Bormann Organization, we have an even deadlier enemy than the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union really was not our enemy. They were trying to protect themselves from us. And most of what we were told about the Soviet Union was BS. It's not to say I hold a brief for their system. It was flawed. But they were not after us at any point. They were never under our beds and are not under their own anymore. Continuing. Perhaps if Echelon were monitoring their communications, it might be of significant benefit to us and our allies. But those of us who love freedom want to know why Echelon is needed to monitor our overseas communications. We want to know when and how it is being used against American citizens and to what extent. We want to know why our government has expanded its surveillance operations to include those whose rights they are supposed to be protecting. We might very well have a significant enemy in the future, and a spy system such as Echelon would play a critical role in its defeat. However, that enemy will be a foreign one. It will not be the people of the United States. So a word to the intelligence community. Stop testing your surveillance technology on the people whose welfare you are supposed to be looking after, and let's get Echelon out in the open to explore just exactly how and for what purpose it continues to function. Those words all sound very fine and nice if one does not understand the heritage of the Free Congress Foundation. On the other side of this tape, in the next half-hour segment, we're going to review a long segment from For the Record, or actually from RFA Program 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe. One of the reasons why I find this column so significant, it indicates to me that the destabilization of the United States that I've spoken about is well underway, and although the words sound nice, when one realizes that the Free Congress Foundation, who the employer of Lisa Dean, who wrote this article, has never at any point been concerned with the civil liberties or democratic rights of the United States or anybody else, their preoccupation with compromising the signals intelligence of the U.S. through the Echelon and Men with Hill stations takes on a very sinister character indeed. That again from For the Record 166 from early July of 1999. We'll continue with this discussion on the other side of the program. This concludes Side A of For the Record 394, The Battle of Men with Hill, Signals Intelligence, and September 11th, being recorded on 1-12-2003. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.